The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
And Andy O'Donoghue, I want to ask you about the various health apps that might be available on your mobile phone. Are they actually of any use in monitoring people's health and in providing information to health professionals?
Well, they are useful, Matt, and there's a variety of them. The simplest of which, you know, many people for a long time have used a pedometer, and that in turn kind of gave way to, say, people like Fitbit creating trackers, which are more accurate, a way of tracking your steps and then your sleep. And of course, all of this, I suppose, culminated really in a way when Apple and Google launched their health apps. And the Apple Health app has become incredibly important for people who own iPhones or Apple Watches. And perhaps today is interesting because with the launch of iOS 15, and this sort of follows on from the iPhone 13 launch of last week, but with the launch of iOS 15 today, patients can now share, or users can now share, the data recorded in their phone. So their health data held on their phone or their Apple Watch can now be shared not just with family members or with carers, but direct to a patient record system used by a health centre or hospital. And that's a huge step, Matt.
Well, Dr. Andy Franklin Miller is with us as well, consultant surgeon, director of the SSC Sports Medicine here in Dublin. Is that what doctors want? Do doctors want, via Apple or via other tech companies, data being collected on mobile phones and watches? Would they trust that data to be useful?
Look, absolutely. I think one of the things that's changing very much so is that we need to rely more than just a singular appointment in a clinic. We've seen during the recent epidemic, we're relying much more on telemedicine and trying to gain more access to our patients' data. And if we look at something as sort of weight management, or trying to assist some of our patients to lose weight, perhaps before surgery, being able to measure their blood glucose through continuous blood glucose monitoring, the Fitbit data Andy was mentioning in terms of activity, really helps in us building a much bigger picture that we might gain from those players in elite sport, where we'd be more used to having almost 24-hour monitoring of those patients. So it's certainly something that we can be using to the patient's advantage.
Yeah, look, I wear a special blood sugar measurement monitor on my arm, the one that lasts every 2 weeks, and can get the data to keep myself in the right zone when I'm not to overeat, or when I need to drink or whatever, things like that. But that's one thing, a specific thing that's used. But something like a watch, Andy Franklin Miller, is a watch going to actually pick up things from your body to give accurate information that's going to be of use?
Well, look, we're already seeing with Apple the use of heart rate measurements and looking for early detection of arrhythmias. Apple have done some work with the Mayo Clinic trying to identify the validity of their watch in using that. And I think we're only going to see improvements in it. And so often we're looking for changes in heart rate rhythm or changes in blood pressure. We all know, a family member or a colleague who goes to the doctor to have their blood pressure measured, and that white coat syndrome of going into the doctor to get the nurse or the physician to measure the blood pressure causes that to rise. It's much more convenient to get those sort of measurements at home. And look, we've started to use Fitbit-type technology preoperatively before joint replacement surgery to try to get an idea of the effects of surgery. And so we're becoming more and more used to interpreting that information, but relying on the patient to allow access to it.
Andy O'Donoghue, what about for monitoring things like sleep? Does it give you information, these various watches, that is actually of any use to helping your sleeping patterns in the future?
Yeah, unquestionably it does, Matt. Only recently I spoke to a respiratory consultant who said that patients will occasionally present because they're worried and they will bring their Fitbit data with them. And of course, that may well lead on to a diagnosis related to, you know, sleep apnea. As well as sleep, of course, many people have bought what we would in the past have called consumer devices. So maybe a Withings scales or a blood pressure cuff, the sort of device that you can use at home, maybe a cardia ECG monitor. And that data is, for many of us, is quite interesting as you try to get a picture of your overall health. But instead of us keeping it on our phones in a siloed sort of way, if we can send it to our doctors or our carers, doctors, people like Dr. Franklin Miller there, can look at that and look at trends over a long period of time and begin to make assessments of us that, you know, we don't have to turn up in surgeries or in clinics every year or two to talk about.
And I see as well today, Andy, the Wall Street Journal reporting that Apple is now teaming up with Biogen, looking at how the Apple Watch sensors and iPhones could be used to detect symptoms, dementia, depression and other neurological diseases. How would that happen?
Yeah, this is fascinating. And apparently Apple have been working with Biogen on this for a while. I think and UCLA are involved in a project called Seabreeze. It is absolutely fascinating, Matt. I know all of this takes a long time, but as people start to wear devices that get better and better, the long-term opportunity for even detecting things like mobility or physical activity, maybe early warning signs of cognitive disorder or Parkinson's. I mean, all of this, it will take a long time, but I think it's a tremendously interesting time for medicine and hopefully one that means, you know, better outcomes for patients.
Very sad message here from one listener. My 38-year-old brother died in his sleep from rapid onset complications of type 1 diabetes. Would have loved if a monitor existed that could have actually been monitored externally and emergency services notified. I think Dr. Andy Franklin Miller, there are Irish companies developing that type of technology separate, aren't there, to iPhones or iWatches or whatever, specific for predetermined illnesses to keep an eye on people and to alert the health authorities if need be.
Absolutely. And look, and I think you touch on it with the continuous blood glucose monitoring. The drug companies have a very rudimentary app. There are many secondary companies developing much more intuitive apps which help us understand dietary interventions that we can look at those early warning systems in terms of red flags. But I think you touch on it really well, insofar as at the moment, medicine's very reactive. We react to bad news, we react to abnormal tests. And really the move is certainly more and more to try to look for preventative medicine, for ways that we can influence health positively, how we can reduce carbohydrate, reduce inflammatory blood markers. And these apps, although at the moment there's a lot of competition between them in terms of how we integrate them together. And one of the issues that we have in clinic is often when we're trying to compare sleep data with blood sugar data, with activity data, Apple are trying to make that a single platform. But often at the moment, there's a lot of competition in terms of the market. And it's difficult for us in from a clinical point of view to access that raw data in the extent that we want. But the ability to look for preventative, kind of healthy patients to try to optimise their life, it's a really exciting opportunity.
Dr. Andy Franklin Miller and Andy O'Donoghue, thank you for joining us here on Tech Tuesday on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.